And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the mighty 1090 studios, and we're eating well already this morning because Yanni Hasser from Fisherman's Belly is here. We're going to be talking about fishing and cooking, and what better subject could that be on a rainy day? So you stay tuned to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on a mighty 1090.
Alaska is one of the ultimate fishing destinations in the world. This is Rock Cod Rick, and every year the one trip I look forward to is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. My dad and I have been going for over 15 years, and I just can't wait to go again. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, the finest fishing charter captains in all of Sitka, and the ultimate value. Sure, I've been to others, but time and time again, nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. You can catch huge halibut like the ones we do almost every year, and salmon? Well, Sitka is famous for some of the best runs in Alaska. We also get plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. And listen to this, it's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except the tips. It's truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Come and join me on the Let's Talk Hookup trip in June, or just go when you can. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
If you are looking for a powerful, smooth, great casting reel at an affordable price, check out the Shimano Torium HG. It's up to 30% smaller than the previous generation, but still has the same line capacity. The smaller S-compact body design and one-piece die-cast aluminum frame provides more rigidity and lighter weight. Torium now has EI surface treatment and has tested up to 700 times the corrosion resistance of past models. The Shimano Torium HG is not only better on the outside, the inside is amazing, with a cross-carbon drag providing up to 24 pounds of drag pressure from a star drag reel. It has a sealed roller clutch and 6.2 to 1 brass gears. The machined aluminum handle has a larger knob to make it easy to crank in the big fish. The new lightweight aluminum spool gives you better casting and control. Available in three sizes, the Torium HD is the next evolution in compact, rigid, and powerful saltwater star drag reels. Get it now at your local Shimano dealer.
This time of year, the fishing offshore is hit and miss. Some days you struggle, the other days you come home with your limited yellowfin. Believe me, you never know. But unlike the unpredictability of fishing, you can always count on Ford F-Series pickups. America's best-selling trucks, 39 years and counting. One reason F-150 is so popular with fishermen is the high-strength, military-grade aluminum body panels. Chevy, Dodge, and Toyota bodies will all eventually rust, but not F-150. Its body panels won't rust ever. That's pretty important for folks like us that launch boats on a regular basis. And F-150's revolutionary body is bolted to a solid steel frame to make it stronger, more capable, and more efficient than ever. When it comes to trucks, fishermen and fisherwomen can always rely on Ford. And right now is a great time to buy. Special incentives have just been announced. That means bigger savings and lower payments on F-150. Log on to their new website, buyfordnow.com, for all the details. That's buyfordnow.com. Then stop by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. I am so looking forward to today's show, man. What a great call. This is going to be fun.
And so many people recommended, you got to have Yanni on the show because he's so great, and he's a good fisherman, and he's a great chef, and just a lot of fun. And already we're like best friends.
Good morning,
Yanni.
So stoked to be here with you guys.
Stoked to be here, too. And I'll tell you what. My taste buds are just glowing right now.
I wish everybody could be here right now.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So tell us about what you do, thefishermansbelly.com. Tell us about that. How did all this happen?
So I got involved with a community of kayak fishermen probably 10, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And part of the community was being on the internet on forums. Bloody Decks, Big Water's Edge. So we get on our forums and we tell our stories and we start posting our pictures. Back then, digital cameras were just coming into being. So, you know, we take our pictures. And I found myself taking pictures of me and my friends catching our fish on the water. And then I found myself taking the camera out at home and starting to photograph my fish dishes. And then I'd include that in all my posts. Hey, here's what I did with my catch. Here's what I did with my catch. And I just started doing it, and I developed a reputation. A lot of people started coming up to me on the water or calling me up at home. Hey, how do you do this? What do you do here? And one thing led to another, and my daughter said, Dad, why don't you start up a blog? I said, what? God's name is a blog, you know? And I guess the proper definition of a blog is a web log.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, as a way of documenting our catch and documenting what I was eating and documenting the recipe and offering the recipe up to my fellow fishermen. And that's how eventually I ended up with fishermansbelly.com.
And how long ago was that?
We started Fisherman's Belly... 2014, March of 2014. We're going on 2 years now.
Yeah. Wow. So, and so you're not a chef in a restaurant. You do this for fun.
Yes, I do.
That's
so
cool.
I do it for fun and for my belly.
And for your and for your passion, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so many of your friends are take advantage. The website is amazing.
It's great, Jan.
If you haven't seen it, it's very well set up. It's easy to navigate, and there's a recipe in there for everybody.
Wow.
Right?
California cuisine especially. I mean, you know, we all love Mexican food. We all love Asian food. Of course, we love classical American food. And Mediterranean food is becoming more and more popular.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for Adam and Ryan not here today. But Steve, our engineer today, is going to be able to take advantage of this beautiful dish that you brought in this morning. Guys, you're missing out because, you know, it's like
it's so good.
We've already sampled. It's really good. So tell us about, first to start off, what this dish you brought in and how you created it and some of the little secret innuendos you've shared with us about how you prepare it.
Well, first of all, during the week, I was thinking about what kind of food. Of course, I put out a recipe every week, what kind of food I was going to do. And I love spring rolls. And since we haven't had a chance to fish lately because of the bad weather, had some lobster tails in the freezer, and I decided to try and make lobster spring rolls. So I published yesterday my new recipe for fried lobster spring rolls. However,
it's the first one. If you go to the website, it's the first on the top if you scroll down first left.
Yeah.
Right? Vietnamese, fried Vietnamese lobster spring rolls.
Correct.
Yeah.
And this morning I wanted to make some fresh food, and I made spring rolls again out of lobster, but this time I brought in fresh lobster spring rolls. I didn't want to go through the process of frying at 3 o'clock in the morning to bring fried ones.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What we've got is fresh lobster spring rolls.
And a very healthy, much healthier choice than the fried side, right?
Yes and no. I mean, if you properly fry food, you're not going to end up with a lot of oil in your food. And if you do end up with oily, soggy food as a result of frying it, you're not frying it at the right temperatures.
Okay. Really?
The temperature is too cold. A big mistake that a lot of people make while they're frying any foods is they might overcrowd the pan. They might put too many items in that oil and drop that oil temperature without even realizing it. And all of a sudden, they're not getting crispy skins. They're not getting a crispy coat. And their food is soggy, and they're wondering what the hell's going on. And basically, you've got to fry in small batches. Either that or you've got to have a 20-gallon fryer to maintain the temperature. And that's critical. When you're frying, you want to be at around 375 degrees. And if you've got a thermometer in that pot, in that oil, as you fry, you can actually watch the temperature drop. And you don't want it to drop any more than 5 or 10 degrees.
Oh,
otherwise,
really?
The things you're frying are going to get soggy.
So if you keep it the temperature up,
correct,
they're not going to get soggy.
Correct.
Okay.
And you'll get a nice
crispy skin. We've already learned.
Exactly. Well, like you say, the small batch thing makes so much sense. You know, I mean, it's just like anything. You dump a whole bunch of something cold in there, it's going to drop the temperature. I'm sure it'll rebuild, but by then it's already absorbed and there you go.
It's too late.
That's
right,
cool.
Right. And people get anxious and they've got a group of people and they want to get that food out as quick as possible. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Fry your foods. If you want to keep it warm while you're continuing to cook, put it in the oven. Warm up your oven. Keep that food nice and hot as you're continuing to cook.
That's a good call.
And finish whatever you're frying.
Okay, very good. That's a good way to do it. So, but this is an alternative to that same recipe of without the frying, a little easier, a cold dish. Why don't you tell us about that.
Sure. So the basic difference with a spring roll, you can create a spring roll and then you can drop it into a pan of oil and you can give it a nice crispy coat. But the difference between a fried spring roll and a fresh spring roll is the meat. When you put, when you're creating a filling for a fried spring roll, your meat can be raw. So the lobster fried spring rolls, the lobster was raw in the filling, and then it cooked in the frying pan.
Okay.
As opposed to a fresh spring roll, you've got to pre-cook your meat. So, for example, you've got leftovers. You have some fish, and you've got some leftover fish in the refrigerator. The next day, look up a spring roll recipe, go to my website, find a spring roll recipe, and use that already cooked meat, wrap up some fresh vegetables, create a dipping sauce, roll up a spring roll in some rice paper, and man, you'll be in heaven.
Oh, sounds so good.
That's a good call, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the recipe, so you brought Maria in here, and she's suggesting some things for you here, right?
Mama Maria, yeah.
She's the real chef in the company.
She is.
Right? No. But anyway, so you were talking about ceviche. And about how when you go to different countries, ceviche is like everywhere.
In Latin America. In Latin America and particularly South America where it originated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what kind of ceviche? I mean, there's like when we were on the Journeyman last week, we caught a Dorado and we had the crew make a Dorado ceviche for us that was just fantastic. How do you know what fish to use in ceviche? How do you know how long to let it set and cure? I mean, what's the deal with ceviche?
So many textures on fish. Yeah, how do you know what's a good type of fish to use? You know, is it a meatier? Is it a firmer? Is it not? Yeah, I'm totally the same.
You know, it all comes through experimentation. The bottom line in your home with your own fish, but if you stop and think about it. You've got all these little fishing villages up and down South America where they're all accustomed to eating ceviche. And whatever village, whatever region, whatever area these people are in, they'll use the fresh fish that they've got. All right? And if you're in a country where there aren't a lot of lemons and everyone's using limes, you're going to use limes. And if you're in a country like Peru where everyone's catching red snapper, everyone uses red snapper. So the beautiful thing about ceviche is the bottom line is once you figure out how long your ceviche is going to be in that lemon juice to cook it or that lime juice, and you don't want to overcook it because it can toughen up, then you can throw an assortment of vegetables along with your fish, and you've got ceviche. You've got your basic ceviche. Now, if you want to have fun and create a Peruvian ceviche or a Baja ceviche or a Colombian ceviche, go to the internet, find out what kind of vegetables they're using for their ceviches, check out the different variety of ceviches they've got and start experimenting, you know. I was exposed to Ecuadorian ceviches long ago where they use tostones, where they use fried plantains.
Really?
To accompany the ceviche. So you've got a lot of textural contrast going on. You know, you've got a little bit of starch because that's what those plantains offer. So ceviche, and especially in South America, can be an entire meal. It can either be eaten with bread or tostones, but it is an entire meal.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. So you said lemon, lime. Does it matter?
No.
Is it going to impart different flavors to the ceviche?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But basically, the acidity is going to cook that fish for you.
And how long is too long? You said don't let it go too long.
You know, that you have to, as a cook, as an aspiring cook, you have to be able to experiment.
Yeah.
So, you know, put your ceviche in for an hour, take it out, test it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's too raw for you, if it's not cooked enough, put it in there for another 15 minutes, another half hour, another hour.
In the refrigerator.
In the refrigerator.
Yeah. Okay.
So you've got to do some experimentation, you know, on your own and figure these things out for yourself.
Okay.
Now, I remember back in the old days, I would think that, you know, you'd have to put the ceviche in overnight. And I've come to realize that sometimes just soaking fish in lemon or lime for an hour is all you need.
Yeah.
When you say soaking, is the fish completely saturated? You know, is your lemon or lime juice, is that like over the top of the fish? Just a little bit put on the top? I mean,
No. Yeah, you completely want it. Yeah, you want all the surface area of the fish to be exposed to that lemon. So what I'll do is I'll chop up my fish, put it in some Tupperware, and then top it off with my lemon juice.
Got it.
Top it off with my lime juice. Top it off with my combination of lemon lime or maybe orange juice.
Okay.
Or tangerine juice.
Oh, wow.
Experiment.
Sure.
You know?
Taste it.
Yeah, taste it. Once you learn the basics, you can start exploring.
That's cool.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely.
Now, you're talking about the different regions, different countries, different areas, and there are different even towns that have different flavors in ceviche. Now, the same holds true for, like, Hawaii and poke, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Don't get me going on
How many different poke recipes are there? And you have one on your one or two on your website.
Yeah, we do have a couple poke recipes. There'll be more to come. But it's not necessarily how many poke recipes, but how many different types of seafood can you use in poke. And let me tell you, any seafood can be used in poke. I've seen Japanese cucumbers sliced up and sold as poke. When I lived in and worked in Honolulu, there were some local markets that I would go to, fish markets. And at the end of the fish market, they always had a deli section where they had the poke. And octopus poke, squid poke, you know, Japanese cucumbers poke, crab poke, you know, with the shells on. Soft crabs. Uh-huh. Just infinite amount. Any fresh fish, any seafood you want to cut up and turn into poke, absolutely.
So it's not just for tuna anymore.
Oh, no.
Because everybody always thinks poke, tuna,
sure. No,
right?
Mussels, oysters, poke, no.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything's possible. Just like ceviche, you can use whatever you like.
So what's the secret? Is there any secret to being a good cook for fish? Because so many people are afraid of cooking fish. How many people I've run into
you're
that
totally
are just
right.
Like, I don't cook fish at home because it comes out lousy. I mean, I love cooking fish at home. My wife is a great cook. She loves cooking. We love eating fish at home, and we catch fresh fish, and we eat it. So many people go, I only eat fish out on a restaurant. Why are people afraid of cooking fish?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I think the most important thing and the most common mistake is that people tend to overcook fish and they don't know what to do with it at that point. Mm-hmm. Or they might even cook it just right, but still serve it without any additional sauce, without any dressings, and sometimes plain fish. You know, you get a white meat fish that is like a plain palette that needs to be painted on. You need to add layers of flavor to that fish to really bring out the taste. Just ordinary fish sometimes doesn't have enough taste, and especially if you overcook it, and especially if it's once it's overcooked, you don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to add more flavor and more moisture to it to bring it back to life so that you can serve it to yourself and your family and your friends.
See, that's got me intrigued, is the once you screw it up, it... You're not done. You don't just have to deal with it being overcooked. There's other things to do.
No, I was fortunate enough to be brought up in the world of old Mediterranean cooking. And all throughout the Mediterranean, and it's one of our faults, is we all overcook our meats, whether they're fish or lamb or chicken or pork. So the ancients, back in the thousands of years ago, had all those foods, but they always overcooked those foods intentionally for sanitation reasons.
Okay.
To prevent themselves from getting bacteria and from getting sick. All right. And it was also another way of preserving fish. You know, you just overcook it, it'll last a few days longer. That and salt curing fish or other meats. So if the ancients had to deal with overcooked food out of necessity to prevent themselves from getting sick, the ancients also had great taste buds. And a great palate, and they used, from example, from the Mediterranean, they had olive oil. So they knew how to put together foods. So what they would do is they would baste their foods. They would introduce moisture and flavor into their proteins after they overcooked their proteins. And it's critical when and where you do it and how you do it. Whenever I take any meat, even if I cook it perfectly, I will take it from a grill or a frying pan, and I will immerse it. I will bathe it. I will baptize it in a baste, and I will let it sit there. While it's hot, it's just sucking up all those flavors, just like this lobster spring roll that I took today. Once I finished cooking it, I immersed the pieces of lobster in a marinade, and I let them sit in there for a couple hours in the refrigerator.
Wow.
It sucks up all that flavor and moisture. And getting back to what I was talking about with overcooking your meats, you can immerse them in a baste. And what is a baste? A baste is acid and it's oil. It's fat. Usually 2-to-1. 2 parts acid, 1 part oil. And salt and pepper and, you know, maybe garlic and some herbs. And you take that overcooked piece of meat, you let it suck up all that moisture while it's hot. And lo and behold, you've got a tasty piece of fish even though it's overcooked.
Okay.
So, you know, a problem is people will overcook their fish and they'll shy away from it. Or once they overcook it, they don't know, oh, crap, what do I do now other than throw it away?
Yeah.
So you can't salvage and save that stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's good.
So that's
good,
that's a big problem, you know? It's easy to make a mistake. Then once you make a mistake, oh, my God, what do I do now?
Coming from a guy that makes mistakes often in the kitchen, like, that's a really, I think we need to further explore this.
I've hit a million myself.
Overcook.
It's easy.
Yeah, well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today. And Yanni is also quite the kayak fisherman, too. If you look at his website,
he's
catching halibut and threshers and yellowtail and all kinds of stuff from his kayak and more. And then he knows how to cook it, too. So we're going to talk about that and more, and going to be a fun show.
Hey, you're not kidding, man. Just so looking forward to today. Lots to cover and so much good info. And, boy, you want to talk about a wealth of knowledge from how to catch it and then what to do with it afterward. This is going to be a really, really fun time. And if you want to join us this morning, we'd love to hear from you. There's two ways that you can reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup this morning. First is with our local line, which is 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. That's our local number. Or you can reach us toll-free. That toll-free line is 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. And I can assure you, it's going to be a busy morning. The phones are already getting packed up. So if you want to get through, that's your best shot. And looks like right now your best is that local number. That's 858-457-1090. Not only are we going to be talking to Yanni all morning over great recipes and cooking and style and fish and going to have a great time, we're also giving away such a great prize for one lucky caller at the end of the show today, and that's a brand new pair of Maui Jim sunglasses. Just an awesome pair of Maui Jims. It's the World Cup. I'm going to say our most popular pair of Maui Jims that we sell at Fisherman's
Landing. So comfortable for almost everybody.
Pete, you nailed it. It fits just about everybody perfectly. And a good pair of sunglasses is all about fit. And those World Cups just seem to be so universal. It's a really nice wraparound style glass from Maui Jim. This particular one's going to come with the HT lens, that high transmission lens, which is, again, probably my favorite of the Maui Jim lens. It's light. It allows a lot of light in, but your eyes stay totally relaxed. Awesome color contrast. This is such a good pair of glasses for one lucky caller at the end of the show today. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great information coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
It's big, it's comfortable, and she is beautiful. The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence. Veteran captains Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Captain Jeff Dubois has helped make the Independence a top-notch operation. Call Independence Sport Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check the availability on spring, summer, and fall trips now at IndependenceSportFishing.com.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color. Clarity. Detail. Maui Jim.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
The main emphasis on the ranch, we're going to keep it old style. We're not going to change anything. We're just going to improve what we have. The kitchen is brand new. Brand new kitchen this year with all new kitchen equipment, new stoves, ovens. We put a new freezer in. We've put in all brand new split air conditioners with thermostats to make sure every room is cold. We've also worked on the boat fleet with a couple large lures, a 31 and a 34. We've got the largest Super Panga fleet on the East Cape, all with brand new Yamaha motors. Brand new beds. We've got all Serta beds, the best beds in Baja, I kid you not. We're working all the time at the ranch. We're not changing it, just making it a lot better. That's why we get the high TripAdvisor reviews. It's my responsibility. I got to take care of you. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero. RanchoLeonero.com. Our new reservation phone number is 800-646-2252. 646-BAJA.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Hey, I just posted on our Instagram and Facebook page. Hookup 1090 is our Instagram. Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show for our Facebook. It's all available on the front page of our website, hookup1090.com. You just click on the little links at the top right corner of our front page there, and you can link to all of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube are our primaries there. But picture of Yanni and Maria here in the studio with Rick and myself and enjoying this incredible lobster spring roll that he made. I'm telling you, it looks great. It tastes better.
Yeah. Awesome.
So before we jump into the jam-packed phone calls, I want to ask you about cooking the lobster in the microwave. This is like... Wait a minute.
I know.
You take something that's like $30 a pound and you cook it in the microwave? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
But it's delicious.
Oh, my gosh. Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. I introduced that, I don't know, about a month or so ago. I have a lobster burrito recipe. And in it, you know, I'm teaching guys to microwave their lobster tails. And I've gotten quite a bit of feedback. And I've gotten quite a bit of negative feedback. But that's okay. You know, a lot of people are shocked and don't understand the microwave, or have had bad results working with a microwave, or just strictly use a microwave to heat up their coffee in the morning, you know? So when they hear I'm putting an expensive, hard-sought-after lobster tail in a microwave, they're going, what in God's name are you doing? I learned that trick from a couple of brothers who are commercial fishermen, or used to be commercial fishermen, in my hometown of Dana Point. And if commercial fishermen are microwaving their lobster tails, there must be something to it. So I started doing it, and then, you know, I got good results, and I started thinking about what's really going on. And basically what's going on is a microwave works kind of like your oven. It extracts and evaporates moisture out of your meats, out of your protein, so you're essentially roasting it. And whenever you roast anything, you're concentrating its flavor, and you're removing water. So you remove water from flavor, the flavors intensify. When you take a lobster tail and boil it, you know, you have to get a big pot of water and salt it and throw your tails in there and wait till they're just perfect. And then you throw out the lobster water. You know, you're throwing out some lobster flavor. Let's face it. You know, sure, that flavor will come from the shells, but a lot of that flavor is coming from the meat as
well.
Now, you're
talking about doing it raw. This is straight from the raw lobster.
The traditional way of taking lobsters and throwing them in boiling water and then taking them out and eating them. When you take that same meat and you roast it in your oven, in your microwave — a microwave is like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, you're intensifying the flavors, and you're not losing any flavors to any boiling water that you're throwing out the door. So now all of a sudden, you know, but the danger is, the caveat is, if you overdo it, you violated the golden rule of don't overcook your seafood, don't overcook your fish. Otherwise, you're going to have...
Especially lobster.
Especially lobster,
right?
Yeah, and you got to know how to resurrect it, you know, once you reach that point. So my advice is, I do it two ways. I can either take a tail, and I will put it belly up in the microwave, cut a slit in its belly, put some butter and some salt, roast them that way. Or I will take the meat out of the tail, chop them up into equal-sized pieces. It's critical in cooking to always work with equal-sized pieces, because then each piece gets cooked the same. I put it in the bottom of a Pyrex dish, spread them out over the bottom of a Pyrex dish, put the lid on, maybe add a little water, maybe add a little bit of butter, maybe add a little bit of olive oil. But put it in that microwave and start off with an average-sized lobster. Start off at about a minute, maybe a little less. Take it out of the microwave and check it. If it needs a little bit more, continue to cook at 10-second increments until you are done. Mm-hmm. All right? And you just got to get into that rhythm. But within 2 minutes, you have got multiple lobster tails completely cooked and ready to do whatever you want to do with them. Turn them into an omelet. Turn them into a spring roll. dip them in butter and just start gobbling them up, make a sandwich out of it. It's fantastic. I understand when people give me a hard time about it, but give it a shot. Believe me, it'll
and now,
save you time and effort.
Now, is this method of microwave lobster on fishermansbelly.com?
Correct.
It is.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's
there. Oh, yeah, there's footage of me doing it.
Okay.
Got the lobster, the Baja lobster burrito pulled up right now. And
sweet.
That's what's so cool. I mean, you do videos. I just encourage you so much to go scope out the website, too, because it's done so perfect and easy to follow. There's a YouTube video showing it, and then the recipe and the story and how to. It's awesome.
Yeah,
you did
all
such
I can
a good
say
job,
is,
Yanni.
Thanks. Thank you.
Watch out. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into the phones.
You got it. Well, they are absolutely packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to Yanni. Why don't we start off this morning with Dan? Dan's calling us from Encinitas this morning. Dan, thanks for getting us started here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Dan.
I want to start off with I do a lot of surf fishing, and it really sucks. Up in a Gundy, and that GoFundMe is so easy to get on. Just do it.
Absolutely.
Good
and
call,
the question is, what's a good sculpin recipe?
Oh, sculpin.
Wow. Yeah, hey, Dan, good morning. Thanks for the question. You know, in the Mediterranean, if you do anything other than creating a soup out of sculpin, they will hang you.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sculpin is intended for soup. In the old world of the Mediterranean, and still there's a lot of fishermen here who prefer to use sculpin for soups. Now, when you make a traditional soup, you use the carcass of the sculpin, you fillet it, you gut it, obviously, and gill it, but you use the carcass to create a fish stock, your stock or your soup, and then you cut up the fillets and throw them in there and use it for soup. So
you fillet it and then use the carcass.
To create
so
the
you
stock.
Don't use the whole fish for the soup.
Yeah. You can. There's some recipes that do that. However, the traditional way, the easy way, or the good way of making a fish soup, which sculpin is perfect for, is create a stock with the carcass,
with the
head,
carcass.
The bones, whatever's left. Build your soup with your stock, and then add your fish fillets cut up at the very end, and you've got a wonderful fish soup.
Oh, nice.
Now, my philosophy is I do whatever the hell I want with my fish. So if I have a sculpin and I want to put it on the grill, I'll put it on the grill. You know, I mean, all fish taste yummy. You just have to realize that some fish takes longer to cook than others. Some fish meat is more dense than others. Some fish meat is more delicate than others. And some fish meat you really just want to sear and leave raw in the middle. And other fish meat you need to cook all the way through.
Now, my wife and I love doing whole fish, like small rockfish.
Right.
Whole. Would a sculpin also be good that way?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the meat is very dense, so you have to be careful and not burn the outside and have the inside of the fish near the bone still raw.
Okay.
So you have to kind of work on that, because when I set up a grill, typically I will have a hot section of my grill, and I will have a cool section of my grill, and I always will have a lid for my grill. So if I get the color that I want and the crispiness I want on a whole fish on the grill, but the inside's still not cooked, I will set it into the cool part of the grill, close the lid, and let the grill act like an oven to continue to cook my fish without burning the outside to a crisp, so that I can get the center part of the fish completely cooked.
Fantastic.
That's a great call.
Really
and,
good.
And brings up a really good point, too. If you're on the slightly lamer side of things like I can be, and I just go to the grill for just about everything when we're cooking fish, is there a set rule? I mean, do you always want your fire just as, you know, you want your burners just firing as hard as you can? Is it the opposite? Do you want it real low? I mean, is there a general rule when it comes to just barbecuing your fish fillets?
Once again, it depends on the fish, and
sure.
You have to think about what you want to do, what's the total outcome. When you've got chunks of tuna that you just want to sear and you just want to have a nice outside that's cooked, maybe an eighth of an inch or a quarter inch in the center, so you want a super, super hot fire to do that, put your chunk of tuna on there, roll it on that fire, give it color, continue to roll, and then take it off the fire, you're done. If you've got let's say you've got a 10-pound yellowtail, and you're ambitious, you want to cook the whole thing. All right, well, the head and the tail are going to be a little thinner and cook a little faster than the midsection. So you're going to have to distribute your heat. You're going to have to be aware of all this in your head. You have to pre-plan your meal.
Don't overcook.
And how this, you have to think about, how is this going to cook? What part's going to cook quicker than another part? How do I overcome that? How do I make sure that when I present it and when we're ready to eat it, the whole thing is cooked the way I want it to be cooked? So you have to pre-plan and think about it. When you've got a fillet, yeah, you can take a fillet and cook it really quickly over a high heat. And if it's a thin fillet, it'll cook all the way through. So it really depends on what you're doing. And be willing to experiment and be willing to screw up.
Yeah.
But also, when you screw up, ask yourself, what in God's name happened? Think about it. The answer might come to you in your dream when you go to the bed, but the next day think about it, and then don't be afraid to do it again, and don't be afraid to screw up again.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All
appreciate
right.
that very much.
How about next up, we talk to David. He's called us from Orange this morning. Good morning, David. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, David.
Yes, say...
David.
Is this a friend of yours, Johnny?
It sure is. Oh, my God. Hey, Dave, how are you? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm having fun listening to you on the radio this morning.
Oh, my God. Here I am.
Hey, Johnny, my question for you is, you know, I love yellowtail, and so I'm wondering if you could help me out with maybe some suggestions on a fairly simple syrup, some yellowtail-type recipe. Should I try and blacken it? Should I try and batter it? What's a good kind of easy way to cook up some yellowtail?
You know, it's funny. I saw that he wanted to ask about yellowtail, and I have to talk about yellowtail because yellowtail, to me, is one of my favorite fish to eat. And so many people go, oh, I don't like yellowtail.
I'm with you, man.
So many people. And I think the reason they don't like it is because they don't cook it properly. Is that true, Ronnie?
Possibly, and you know, a yellowtail has got that. Yellowtail is like salmon. You know, it's got its very distinctive flavor. Mm-hmm. When you eat yellowtail and you know yellowtail, you know you're eating yellowtail. It's just like when you're eating salmon, you know you're eating salmon. So sometimes, you know, people might not just inherently like that taste. Yeah. But yellowtail for me is an extremely versatile fish, as fishermen have figured out, because of hamachi and because of the Japanese. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've realized that, you know, tuna is great raw, and so is yellowtail. And yellowtail also is good if you sear it so that the outside's cooked and the inside's not. But yellowtail is also absolutely delicious, cooked thoroughly through, but not overcooked.
Ah.
So, in my mind, you can cook yellowtail a million different ways. Getting back to your question, Dave, if you want to do something very basic with yellowtail, you can, you know, take the skin on or leave the skin off and marinate it a little bit before you throw it on a grill. I'm assuming you're going to slap it on a grill. And, you know, your yep. marinades can be any number of things. My only warning about marinating any fish is do not marinate fish with an acid, either vinegar or lemon, in a strong amount of vinegar or lemon. Otherwise, it'll actually toughen up and start to cook the fish like a ceviche. Can you imagine creating a ceviche and then cooking the ceviche?
So you want a more oil-based.
So you want a more oil-based marinade.
Yeah.
All right? And then you throw it on your grill. And then after you're done, take that piece of yellowtail and create an acid-based marinade. Where maybe
after it's cooked.
Right. Maybe okay. you use the same marinade, but now you reverse the proportions of oil and
lemon, yeah,
your acid. So bathe your yellowtail in that baste before you eat it, and notice that the juices from the yellowtail and the juices from the baste are going to melt together. And you can use butter and lemon, or you can use olive oil and lemon. Go for the basics and branch off from there.
Brilliant!
I love that.
That sounds
that's so
simple.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now one of the things that's easy to do with yellowtail, like a lot of white fish, is overcook it. I noticed on your recipe that you have a fish that you cook in a parchment paper, which done that. My wife's done that before.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah, papillote.
Yeah, that recipe looks good. That would be a good yellowtail recipe, maybe?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Especially for a larger chunk of yellowtail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when I mean larger chunk, I mean a thicker piece of yellowtail. You know, it could be 4 or 5 inches long, but it can stand up an inch or two in thickness. Take a nice chunk of fillet that you like, wrap it up in a parchment paper, and the French invented this, and it's a steaming bag is basically what it is. and you add a little bit of acid, a little bit of lemon into that parchment paper. You add a little bit of wine in that parchment paper, which acts also like lemon or lime. And always, by the way, with fish, we're talking white wine. We're not talking red wine. In general, always white wine. Right. White wine acts just like lemon and lime does.
Oh, really?
It brightens and sharpens the flavors.
Okay.
And it keeps that tongue of yours tart. It makes you generate saliva, and it makes you keep coming back for more. That's the beauty of acid. That's the beauty of lemon, lime, and white wine.
Interesting. How cool is this?
Yeah.
Right?
This is great.
This is awesome.
So, and he has the answer.
I know. I love it.
So, Yanni, what's the difference between cooking in papillon, you called it,
or papillote.
Parchment papillote,
sure.
Or parchment paper, and foil? Is there a difference in the flavor?
No, there isn't. You know, I mean, there's no phobia with foil. No, absolutely not. No, if you've got foil, you can do the same thing. But here's the beauty of the parchment paper. Yeah, and the French perfected this. You create a parchment packet. You know, you even oil the packet on the outside, and you've got that fish, and you've got some beautiful vegetables in there with a little bit of wine and lemon. You put it in the oven, and you let it steam and get juicy and succulent. And then the parchment paper itself starts to puff up because it's sealed with the air. And then it develops some nice color. Now what you do is you take that parchment paper packet, you put it on the plate, you put it in front of your wife, your girlfriend, or your favorite person. You cut that parchment paper open right under their nose, and all of a sudden they are engulfed with all those aromas and that steam coming out of there. So you eat it out of the parchment paper, so it's a real romantic, it's a sexy thing to do.
Very.
It's and extremely tasty, and the whole damn thing is right there in the parchment paper.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great idea. Perfect presentation. It's like meal in a bag.
It is.
But a lot more fancy.
And steamed. It's perfect.
Yeah. Scoring us some pretty major brownie points here, Yanni.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, David, you must be lucky enough to know Yanni. You get to indulge in some of his cooking then.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we would go out and, do our kayak fishing, catch something, maybe divide up the spoils, and he would give me some good tips as we would head on home.
Perfect.
So cool.
All right.
Wow,
hey, thanks,
Dave. Thank you so much for calling, buddy.
Appreciate the call this morning.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, take
care. Scott Sherman's on the line. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, morning, guys. When I heard your guest, I had to tune in. I remember Yanni from the days of Big Water's Edge, and like you said, back before digital cameras on the kayaks out in La Jolla taking pictures. So it's
good to hear from you, Scott. How you doing?
Good, buddy. It's good to hear that you've taken your passion and gone the next step, and it's really good to hear and getting a lot of good tips from you.
Thank you.
Hey, a question and a tip, if you don't mind.
Sure.
On the tip side, you were talking about microwaving your lobsters.
Okay.
I don't know if your listeners know about what we call popcorn lobster.
I've heard of that term, but refresh my memory.
Basically, if it's for your really, for your larger lobsters that have the big legs that have meat in them that you can extract from the legs.
You bet.
Take those legs before the lobster's been frozen. It's got to be fresh. You break them off. You take like three of them, put them between two paper plates with a paper towel, and stick them in the microwave and turn it on. And just listen till you hear the pop. And as soon as you hear the pop, that means the steam pressure's built up inside that leg and shot the meat cooked right out the other end. So once you hear the pops, you turn off the microwave, you take your plates apart, and inside are three long tubes of freshly cooked lobster meat.
And how does it taste, Scott?
It's excellent. It tastes more lobstery than when you cook it regular, in my opinion.
There you go. And those flavors intensified, and you're not pouring them out in boiling water, are you?
No, yeah. And so many times you get a big lobster like that, and you know there's meat in the leg, but trying to cut those legs open and take the meat out is a real pain. Mm-hmm. So just pop it in the microwave and listen for the pop, like a kernel of popcorn pop, and that means that the pressure has built up enough to shoot the meat right out the other end of the tube.
Wow, what a great idea. And if it was me doing that, I would make sure that I would turn the TV on really loud so no one else could hear the popping. I would run into that microwave, then run in the closet and gobble those legs
down.
That's a good idea. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, and then the quick question is, in your opinion, what's the quickest, easiest, most flavorful fish dish to cook?
Oh my God.
Quick and easy?
Well, go on fishermansbelly.com
and pick your pick, right?
Yeah, I'd have to tell you, my all-time favorite, or one of my all-time favorites, is paella. Paella. It's a Latin dish, originated from Spain. And it's got a combination of sausage, it's got a combination of chicken, it's got a combination of seafood, you know, octopus, squid, bass. Mm. And it's also cooked with rice. And my all-time favorite seafood spice, which is saffron.
Oh, yeah.
So you've
saffron.
Got... Yeah, you've got... And then it's bathed in a tomato sauce and hopefully with garden tomatoes, and especially when you go to Europe and you get those heirloom tomatoes. So it's a stew. It's called paella, very common all throughout Latin America, originated in Spain. It's a great dish. I love paella. And one of these days, I'm going to be doing it on my website.
Oh, yeah. No, I love paella.
Yeah.
The proper pronunciation is?
There's an L, paella.
Paella. Okay, very good.
Right, and that's actually the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just can't wait to see the recipe on the website so I can get started on it.
You bet. Yeah, it takes a little bit of practice, but it's well worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, well, Scott, and I might add, too, that for those of us in San Diego, there's a Spanish market in Pacific Beach on Garnett, and they sell the paella rice, they sell the saffron, the Spanish saffron, they sell all the different things. They probably even have recipes and stuff like that. I know my wife's cooked paella before and been to that store, and it's
fun dish to cook up, and you can share it with
really
a lot of
fun.
Different people. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, nice to hear from you. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to check in with the Catch Report, find out what's biting up and down the beach, plus a lot more with Ani. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about one of my favorite places to fish in the world. It's Whaler's Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. For several years now, we've been hosting groups at Whaler's Cove, and this is certainly one trip I do not miss. Each year, the Powers family makes great improvements to the lodge that make this great lodge even better. New rooms, new boats, new fish processing facilities, new outdoor kitchen. The list goes on and on. As for fishing, the calm waters around Whaler's Cove are 100 miles from any large town, so you will enjoy wilderness adventure without the crowds. Whaler's Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there's no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Here's the deal. The word is out on Whaler's Cove, so you want to go? Book soon. WhalersCoveLodge.com or call 800-423-3123. WhalersCoveLodge.com for the Alaska fishing experience of a lifetime.
There's a new kid in town, and they are creating near miracles on boats all over the Southland. It's Blue Seas Fabrication, the West Coast first and only certified sea deck fabricator and installer. Install sea deck EVA from non-skid decking materials on your boat, sport fisher, or yacht, and your boating experience is enhanced and improved. Why? Well, first, sea deck from Blue Seas Fabrication enriches the look of any boat, old or new. Next, the sea deck non-skid decking material adds comfort, convenience, safety, and value. The possibilities are endless. Let the experts from Blue Seas Fabrication show you how sea deck will make your life easier and better on every trip. Their professional staff will custom fit your deck, bridge, and interior with a stylish, non-absorbent, stain-resistant, and easy-to-clean material in multiple textures, designs, and colors. Sea deck offers comfort and anti-fatigue properties for those long days of fishing. It can also be used on kayaks, boat trailers, and more. See for yourself. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com to see how Sea Deck can transform your watercraft and truly create a wow factor for the next time you head out. Call them at 858-232-4188 for more information and a free quote. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com and enhance your fishing experience.
Okay, so last Sunday, we had the president of Shimano, Dave, on the show, and we let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, we did.
We were the scoop for the entire country about the new Trenx 300 and 400 reels. I am so excited for these reels. And if you go to Shimano.com right now, you can see all the details and all the specs about these fabulous new reels that will be introduced at the Fred Hall Long Beach Show.
Trenx 300, too. I've heard a lot of people like, oh, it's the new Corrado. It's not. This is a ground-up redesign of a very popular size reel in that 300. New gears, new drags. It's going to have more torque. It's smoother. It has that X-chip where you have the better gear mesh. It's just going to be a fantastic new reel. I cannot wait for the Trenx 3 and 400.
And there's even on the website a comparison between the old and the new, the Corrado and the new Trenx 300. It's just a better machine.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And it's going to be available for you soon at the Fred Hall Long Beach Show. You'll be able to see it and buy it very, very soon, and that'll be your first opportunity. But in the meantime, if you're thinking about another reel,
oh man,
Take a look at this one, because this is the one you want. The Trank 300 and 400 from Shimano, coming soon to your local tackle store. Check it out.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3800 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
XERRS 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
The best coverage of the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 51 is right here.
Incredible!
San Diego sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the mighty 1090.
All right, we're back with Yanni from fishermansbelly.com, and fortunately, we have something to satisfy our hunger, because just listening to Yanni talk about the great recipes he does, and he was talking to Dallas in the break about Tex-Mex Pokey, which is another recipe on your website.
You bet.
Yeah. I want it.
Right?
Yeah. I want some.
Yeah, I dig it.
For
and
sure.
I'm just going to say, this is one of the few times when I'm like, every time we're doing the show, like, I can't wait for the breaks. I can stuff my face for more Yanni lobster spring rolls, because they're so good.
They are good. Well, hey, time for the Catch Report, Rick.
You got it, man. Let's find out what's biting out there today. And today, the Catch Report is sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Fisherman's Processing is San Diego's finest, and that's why they're known as the Fish Pros. Once you try them, you'll be hooked. They'll fillet and vacuum pack your fish all to your specs, as well as offer you the best in smoked fish, jerky, and their famous tuna burgers. Check fishermansprocessing.com for more details, or you can see them right when your trip returns to the San Diego Landings. And let's head on up to Dana War Sport Fishing. Talk to our man, Captain Brian Woolley, is on the line. What's up, Woolley?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Brian.
Sounds like there's some tasty stuff getting passed around the studio there.
Oh, yeah. It is on this morning. Check it out.
Yeah, man, Yanni, you got me going here. Sounds like some good stuff.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, you know, just real quick, yesterday after hearing of the news with Gundy and whatnot, you know, Gundy's been a huge part of Dana Wharf history. Just, I got to put it out there.
No question.
Mr. Hansen immediately wanted to get a fishing trip put together with the proceeds going to help the cause of help, you know, getting Dave back on track and whatnot. So, guys, keep your eyes and ears open. We're going to put something together. We don't have a date yet, and we're you know, it's work in progress. So keep your eyes on our Facebook or our Instagram pages at Dana Wharf, because we know we're going to put something together to help that cause for sure. So
what a great idea. That's awesome.
So any support we can get from listeners, guys, call landing, all that kind of stuff, you know, we'd love to have you guys help us, you know, get that out there. So obviously I'll jump into the report here. You know, we got hammered on with the weather this weekend. That being said, you know, our days on the water happened at the very beginning of the week. As with the last couple weeks, our efforts have been pretty much focused on the sculpin fishing for our three-quarter day guys. You know, it's been excellent fishing, and all of our anglers have been able to kind of catch what they need. If they want to go home with their five, it hasn't really been a problem. Some of the popular setups for us this week, again, included the Colt Sniper jigs, the Lucanus jigs, the rubber lure fished on a dropper loop. Guys fishing the braided line certainly had the advantage over the guys with the monofilament. Just it worked out a lot better for them. So after we've caught our sculpin, you know, we've had options. We've kind of finished our day off. It's either been into the beach to catch a bass, or we've been able to get the boat set up, try a few halibut drifts. With that halibut being mentioned there, you know, our halibut derby leaderboard is full right now, and the guys are now getting bumped out of their leaderboard spots as bigger fish are being caught and continuing to be caught. You know, we didn't make it out on any halibut-specific trips this week. Those trips run Fridays and Sundays, and obviously with the weather, it just didn't happen, and it's not happening today either. So we're looking at a little bit of wind and weather, I think, in the forecast, too, this next week. So if you've got a day off this week and you want to come fishing, certainly recommend calling the office, you know, to see if, you know, we have stuff online to go every day, but obviously the weather's going to get the better of us. We're not going to go. So certainly call the landing this time of year. We recommend that, no doubt. The number here is 949-496-5794. Of course, like I mentioned every week, we urge you to use that Let's Talk Hookup discount, the little Dana Wharf code you can find right on the front page of the Let's Talk Hookup website. Get that little four-digit code. And book online and save 25% on one of these three-quarter day or half-day trips. And check us out at danawharf.com. So certainly some options. Give us a call. We'd love to have you out this week.
All right. Very good. And we'll look forward to hearing about that special trip for Gundy, our good buddy, and thanks a lot for your call, and stay dry there, Brian.
Thanks, Willie.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Willie.
All right. Hey, speaking of the man, Gundy Gunderson, our surf guru, is right here. Good morning, Gundy.
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, Gundy.
We're hanging in there, guys. We're hanging in there.
Yeah.
Hey, Gundy, it's Yanni. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, bud?
How are you?
So
good. We're hanging in there. You know, the response from my friends, you know, and family has been tremendous. And, you know, you just got to think that that's what's really important in life, you know, and things and stuff are replaceable, you know. I think, you know, the photography that I've done over the last 20 years probably be the biggest pill to swallow, and it's never fun watching your Boston Whale, your beloved Boston Whaler, burn to the trailer. But, you know, we made it out of there alive. We lost a few animals. It's just a cruel blow. But like I said, the support of the community, family, friends, it's been something special, and I'll always take that with me.
Yeah, and you guys are okay, but you did lose a few of your animals.
Yeah. That's real tough, you know.
Yeah,
but,
that's very, very tough. Part of the family, for sure.
You know, you got to move on, you know, and we love to fish, and we're going to get back into what we do. And we like to write about it, take pictures, and that's none of that's going to change. So yeah. we just got to keep our eye on the big prize, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, although I had a Boston Whaler, was it a 13?
It was a 17,
yeah.
Yeah, 1975 hull. It was my baby. But,
yeah.
You know,
but
like I said, those things are replaceable.
Yeah, those are around. And you can get that one replaced. And it's not that particular one, but, you know, you can bring it back to some love and give it back
That's right.
What you have and rebuild your house and your life. And, you know, like you say, the photography is irreplaceable, but by gosh, you just have to take more pictures.
Go fishing again, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
You just got to start. I'm not going to change who I am or what I do or my attitude in life. You know, sometimes you're dealt some tough blows, you know, and I have to admit I've had the life of Riley for the most part, you know, so I think within the course of one's life, you're going to get chopped down every now and then,
sure.
You know, so I'm trying to take a positive. And like I said, the encouragement, the phone calls, the well wishes from all those in the sport fishing community and, you know, the family you have on the radio here, Pete, and Western Outdoor News, and Dana Point, and it's just tremendous. I'm overwhelmed, and I thank everybody so much.
Gundy. Hey, you know, after we talked about your GoFundMe page that we put up on our Facebook page, I was blown away at the response from our listeners. So thank you, listeners, for really helping Gundy out. That was.
I don't even have a device, so I haven't been online in days.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been trying to go through the rubble and get whatever we can out of there, you know, coins and, you know, and if I could, you know, if we could learn anything from it, you know, my situation was unique, you know, it was 35 mile an hour wind and they think something at the water heater, an electrical issue or something, but, you know, take a few minutes and think about your place and what you want to grab and, you know, that sort of thing, you know, that's if, you know, I can help someone save their situation by doing some precautions or something, you know, that then we can gain from this, you know what I mean?
Things like that happen. And so, be prepared, and being prepared is very good advice. The other thing, too, I don't know, they just heard Brian talking about Don Hansen wanting to put together a fundraising fishing trip for you out of Dana Wharf Sport Fishing.
No.
Yeah, man, come on. You got to be on that trip, buddy, for sure. That's going to be a good one for sure for you. And I know you're a very humble guy, and, you know, like your brother said on the GoFundMe page, it's like you'd never ask for anybody for anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that nothing's going to replace. But, you've done so much
out of
your heart for so many people in this fishing industry for basically earning nothing out of it. It's time for our community to step up and help you out. So,
well, God bless you, Pete, and God bless all your listeners and everything. And, you know, that's just what keeps me strong right now is the support, and I really appreciate it from everybody.
Well, thanks for keeping
buddy.
Us informed, and we'll let you get back to surf fishing next week when we actually have some weather where we can go surf fishing in, right?
Yeah, there was a 24-inch halibut caught in L.A. Harbor yesterday on a drop shot.
Whoa.
they're Chad, so.
Yeah, there it is.
And, you know, all the shops, I talked to some of my shops yesterday, and the beach is going to be good this spring with all the holes and troughs. So we're going to get back into it, Pete. So I appreciate that, and thank you, everybody, and God bless.
All right.
Thanks, Gundy. Well wishes, Gundy.
Get a good buddy.
For sure. Take care of yourself. All right. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phone lines, Rick.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Jim, and Jim's calling us from National City this morning. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
good morning, guys. Another great show.
Hey, Jim.
My question is, I'm being an Italian-American. I cook a lot with olive oil.
Awesome.
And I love to sear my bluefin, yellowfin tuna, yellowtail, and olive oil. Now, I was informed by one of my Japanese friends that, oh, no, olive oil breaks down. You don't want to sear your fish in it. He recommended rice oil. But anyway, I'm an olive oil guy, and do I have to get off the olive oil searing my tuna, or am I going to be okay?
Good question.
You know, and your first name is Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. Jim, listen. There's a lot of people that constantly talk about the high smoking or the low smoking temperature of olive oil. So when it comes up to a certain temperature, it starts to smoke and it starts to break down. So especially with good quality olive oils, extra virgin olive oils, the general rule of thumb is everyone seems to think that you shouldn't be frying in extra virgin olive oils, especially because of that low smoking temperature. However, in Rome, where olive oil is plentiful, and in Greece, where olive oil is plentiful, you try telling those people not to fry their fish or their meats in a high-quality olive oil, and they'll throw you out the door. So on one hand, your Japanese friend is absolutely correct, you know, but on the other hand, go to the Mediterranean and tell those people that, and they'll throw you right out the door. Absolutely. Yeah. If you fry your fish in olive oil, and it tastes good to you, keep doing it.
Okay. That's how do you fry your fish?
I'll fry. You know what? When it comes to frying fish, you know, olive oil imparts a certain flavor. And when I'm doing a Mediterranean dish, I want to stay Mediterranean. And I always use a high-quality olive oil because it just tastes so much better.
Yeah.
But I will use olive oil. However, if I'm making fish sticks or if I'm frying some other types of foods, especially American classics, I always use peanut oil because when peanut oil gets up to 370, 380 degrees, it maintains its integrity and it doesn't impart a flavor, and you get a great crust from frying in peanut oil.
Oh, okay.
So if I don't use olive oil, I will use peanut oil.
Okay. Now, another alternative I think that my wife Lolly uses is grapeseed oil. Is that another alternative? High smoke point?
Yeah. Grapeseed oil is absolutely fine and very nutritious, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And it's just not that easy to find. You have to know exactly where to get it. But grapeseed oil is outstanding as well.
And it has a high smoke point.
It sure does.
Yeah. So that's another alternative there. So. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the point. Question, good point. I think that's really something that a lot of people love cooking in olive oil, like myself.
And I appreciate the Italians calling up. Una fazza, una razza. One face, one race. The Greeks and the Italians.
Very good.
When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information, a full another hour. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Yellowtail and bluefin are here now, and it's time to go fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The perfect rod to handle tough fish like these is Terramar from Shimano. The secret? TC4 construction. That delivers a rod that is light and sensitive, yet tough and powerful. Shimano Terramar should be your next rod. Fisherman's Landing Tackle has the best inventory in the country of Terramar rods and the experts to help you select them. Visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. From a half-day trip on the Dolphin, overnight trips, and soon, three-quarter-day island trips on the Liberty, you can count on Fisherman's Landing to deliver the best. Check the website for all that is going on or call Fisherman's Landing at 619-221-8500. Book now at fishermanslanding.com.
Everyone likes special treatment, you know, kind of feel like a VIP. Well, that's how our listeners are treated at Poway Valley Collision. I have personally heard of several stories of how well our friends Jim and Mary take care of their customers that we sent them. Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. We know you may not need them today, but when accidents happen, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. And listen to this. Our listeners get a special discount that can save you hundreds of dollars on your car or truck repair. Just tell them you listen to the show and you get the deal. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. Just bring your car or truck to them and let Poway Valley Collision do the rest. I've had my truck repaired at Poway Valley Collision and the job was perfect. So get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. Tell them you listen to Let's Talk Hookup and they'll save you money on your repair. Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it. So what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use this special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
XSRS 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Aztec.
What's that slam dunk? That's what I'm talking about.
San Diego sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Rancho Leonero is very family-oriented. People have brought their children down, and now they're bringing their children. It's not unusual to have three generations of family at the hotel. Grandpa, dad, and normally sons, sometimes daughters. The families come back year after year, and it's a safe place for the kids. It's small, it's intimate, right on the water, 2 miles of beachfront. The water's very shallow in front. There's no currents to speak of, no waves. We have child care, $10 a day for a babysitter. Security is high at Rancho Leonero. It's really unnecessary, but it adds up comfort level. And we really do encourage the families. It's a great place for family reunions, family get-togethers, weddings. We do it all. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. There's nowhere that I could think of to have the same atmosphere and the same experience that you get at Rancho Leonero. We love families.
Alaska's Katmai Lodge is a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. You'll fish for all five species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, and on even years, pinks, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and the nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's U.S. Coast Guard and CPR certified guides are fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in. They are exceptional teachers and ensure you have days that are fish filled and fun with freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, there are fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon, as well as fresh, delicious meals prepared by their exceptional chef. Elevate your visit with a quick flyout trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. For the best fishing adventure ever, visit katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com.
This time of year, the fishing offshore is hit and miss. Some days you struggle, the other days you come home with your limit of yellowfin. Believe me, you never know. But unlike the unpredictability of fishing, you can always count on Ford F-Series pickups. America's best-selling trucks, 39 years and counting. One reason F-150 is so popular with fishermen is the high-strength, military-grade aluminum body panels. Chevy, Dodge, and Toyota bodies will all eventually rust, but not F-150. Its body panels won't rust ever. That's pretty important for folks like us that launch boats on a regular basis. And F-150's revolutionary body is bolted to a solid steel frame to make it stronger, more capable, and more efficient than ever. When it comes to trucks, fishermen and fisherwomen can always rely on Ford. And right now is a great time to buy. Special incentives have just been announced. That means bigger savings and lower payments on F-150. Log on to their new website, buyfordnow.com, for all the details. That's buyfordnow.com. Then stop by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer. They'll be glad to hook you up.